More than a book, we've been thinking about the Bible as God's word to us. We most commonly know it in book form, but it's not just an ordinary book, and we've been thinking about different images that God gives us to help us to understand the power and the joy of his word to us. And we're going to be thinking about one more image this evening, although there are lots of others we could think about, but just one more this evening. And in a moment we're going to turn to Luke chapter 8. If you have a church Bible, you'll want to open it to page 1042. If you have a large print brown Bible, 1566. We'll be looking in a minute at Luke chapter 8. And first, let's pray again and ask for God's help. Father God, we pray that the words that we have just sung would be true of us, that we would come with open hearts, ready to receive from you, that you would help us as we listen, you would clear from our mind distracting thoughts, unhelpful thoughts, that you make us receptive, to help us to listen well, and help us to respond, and to respond together as a church to what you have to say to us through your word this evening. Amen. Now, it may be that as you took one of these or saw it earlier today, that your mind may have gone to someone that you could invite to one of the carol services. Your mind may have gone to a specific name of someone that you could invite, or your mind may have gone to the specific name of someone that you may have an opportunity to speak about Jesus with over the next few weeks when Christmas is in the air in our society. It may be that your mind went to someone who you've invited to something in the past, and they've shown absolutely no interest at all, and you think, is there any point inviting them again? Or it could be that your mind went to someone who you've invited in the past, and they've come to something, or maybe they've come to more than one thing. They've come to something, and then they've gone away as if they haven't just heard the best news in the world. And you wonder, is there any point in inviting them again? Or it could be that you've signed up to do distribution of literature on a street that you've distributed literature to in the past, but there's been no change at 3 Taylor Road, so you wonder, is there any point in putting something through the letterbox of 3 Taylor Road this year? I don't actually know who lives at 3 Taylor Road, but you get the idea. Is there any point? Or maybe you think of someone, a family member that you'll see this Christmas that you don't see much during the year, that you'll be able to speak to, but you've had conversations in the past about Jesus and the conversations have gone nowhere. Is there any point in even thinking about speaking to them again? Is there any point? Well, my sermon this evening has 3 points. Yes, yes, and yes. And we're going to be thinking about one final image, this image of the Word of God as a seed, an image that in some ways is a bit surprising, but also very helpful and very encouraging, I hope, for this evening. I'll be thinking about what I imagine to all of us will be a familiar parable. We don't have any visitors among us this evening, so we probably all know this parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 8, a parable that describes what happens at every carol service, in every literature distribution, at every Christmas at coffee morning and family Christmas party. Luke chapter 8, and I'll read the first 15 verses. First few verses give the context, then the next few verses are the parable that Jesus tells, and then we get the explanation. Soon afterward, he, that is Jesus, went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said, in a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. We'll end the reading there. So probably familiar words, this story of a sower who went out to sow some seed. And he goes out into the field and he scatters this seed everywhere. That wasn't unusual. That was how it was done before we had the technology we have now. The seed was scattered everywhere. And because it was scattered everywhere, well, it fell in different places, in different types of ground and soil. And we get the four different types of ground and soil. Some falls on the path, and so it doesn't grow. It just gets taken away. Some falls on the rocky ground, and it grows a bit, but doesn't last long. Some falls where the thorns are. It grows a bit more, but gets choked and doesn't grow more than that. And some falls into good soil and does grow and does bear fruit. A seed that's scattered, and these four different things happen. And by the time that Jesus has finished telling this story, we're obviously waiting to hear, well, what is this seed? What is it? What is this seed? Verse 11, and why we're looking at this parable, the seed is the word of God. One final image for us in our series, the seed is the word of God. And it'd be good this evening just to think a bit about that, about the word of God as a seed. It's an interesting image of the word of God, a helpful image, an encouraging image ultimately, the word of God as a seed. And why is it like a seed? Why is it that Jesus chooses a story involving a seed that's scattered to talk about the word of God? A few things I think we can see this evening. The first is this, that the word of God is a seed because it doesn't always produce the same result. Just the surprising thing about this image of the seed. The word of God is a seed because it doesn't always produce the same result. You have this story about these seeds that fall on these different soils, different environments, different things happen. The same seed, but in different places, it grows or doesn't grow in different ways. These different things happen. It doesn't always have the same result. And what Jesus says is that the word of God is a bit like that. And maybe we're familiar with the story, so we don't really get the shock of that. So that is quite a shocking thing, isn't it? To say that the word of God doesn't always produce the same result. We think about everything that we've seen about the Word of God in the series so far. I don't know if you've been here for all five of the previous messages. Has anyone been here for all five? No. Oh, Anne. Thank you, Anne, for being I was going to say a loyal customer. I should be charging you, shouldn't I? But anyway, we've seen lots of images. We've seen, for example, that the Word of God is a light, right? The light. Light is a good image, isn't it? We all love light. Light in the darkness. That's great, okay? And the Word of God is also a sword. So it has an edge to it. It's not something that's dull and useless. It's a sword. It has an edge to it. And it's also a hammer. It comes with power and authority. It breaks the rock in pieces. It's also like silver, pure silver, flawless, perfect, trustworthy, reliable in everything it says. It's also, as we saw this morning, like a mirror that perfectly shows us what we're like, both the good and the bad. We see that the Word of God is powerful and the Word of God is good. The living and active Word of God is all of these things. Why doesn't it always produce the same result, we could ask? In fact, it's even more shocking than that. If you think who it is who's telling this parable. Who is it who's telling this parable? Jesus. Thank you, Jane. I'm glad you came. Yes, Jesus. Jesus is telling this parable. Jesus, arguably, I think, the best preacher who's walked on this earth. Certainly the preacher who preached the most well-known sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And more than that, he wasn't just a preacher. He was, we sang about at the beginning, the Word of God become flesh. He was the one who's conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. The one who had the best prayer life of any preacher who's ever walked on this earth, in perfect communion and fellowship with his Father in heaven. And he preached this word, and some people didn't get it. And in fact, some people rejected it and wanted to kill him. We don't have to read much further in Luke's gospel to read about people wanting to kill him. And even here, we are told that the same word goes out, this same seed goes out. And for some people, those who've been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, well, they're helped to understand and to learn more about Jesus and his kingdom. But for others, they don't understand. There isn't that response. The Word of God, as a seed, falls in different places and different things happen depending where it falls. And even though this is a familiar parable, that might be a bit of a shock. And perhaps that's why we can become a bit discouraged when we don't see it bearing the fruit that we might like or hope for. Or have you ever had those kind of conversations where you're sharing the gospel with someone and they just don't get it? And you feel like shaking them or just hitting them. You shouldn't do that. But you just don't understand. Why is it? And you come away perhaps thinking, well, is there something wrong with me? Or is it that I just have misunderstood the message? Well, there's a place to ask those questions about what is the message we're sharing and how are we sharing it. But here, in this parable, the issue is not with the sower. The issue is not with the seed. The issue is with the soil. Different soils representing different hearts with different results. We think about these different soils, these different results as the Word of God is proclaimed and preached. And we should, above all else, praise God that there is such a thing as good soil. We think about the condition of human hearts since Genesis 3, hardened towards God, not wanting to listen fully to what he has to say, thinking that we know better than him. And you could have understood if at that point he just completely abandoned the field and left us to ourselves and no more word, no more seed had gone out. That would have been the end. But the fact that we have these different responses is a sign of how God has continued to be at work and how he's been patient and gracious towards this world that has hardened its hearts towards him, as we all have. And the fact that he's still patient with us, even if we have had our hearts softened, that we still don't we like to dabble in the rocky ground or the thorny ground, not always completely receptive to God's voice, distracted, focusing, looking elsewhere. Yet God is still patient with us. But so obviously this parable, it does come with a challenge as we think about those different responses to the word of God, those different hearts, those different conditions. It comes with a challenge for us to think about how we're listening to the word of God. That's why Jesus says those words, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." It's what we saw this morning, if you were with us, with the image of a mirror. Think about how you're listening, even this evening. But our focus this evening is more on our outreach as a church, proclaiming this good news to others. And what Jesus is teaching us and helping us to understand with this parable is that we shouldn't always expect the same result in other people's lives. We should expect a mixed response when we share the good news with the world around us. That's what happens here. That's what happens in the ministry of Jesus. That's what has happened throughout church history. If that's happening, that's not weird. That's normal. That there's a mixed response as the word goes out. And Jesus is more concerned here with the what than the why. The fact that the word is a seed that has a mixed response. And so if we see a mixed response, or if we have those people who've come and have gone away as if nothing has been said, or those people that we've spoken to and the conversations have gone nowhere, or the people who've shown no interest, it doesn't mean that we're doing something wrong necessarily. It doesn't mean that sowing is a waste of time. It doesn't mean that the message isn't quite what we thought it was. No, the word is working as it always has done. And so if you have that friend that you've shared the gospel with, spoken about Jesus with, and they just haven't got it, don't be discouraged. Jesus had the same experience. Isn't that encouraging to remember? That Jesus had the same experience. People didn't get it. It's nothing wrong with us if that happens. We still take time to reflect on how we're sharing the gospel and what our lives are like. Of course we do. But let's keep going, not be discouraged. Because the word of God is a seed that doesn't always produce the same result. Something else I think we can see about the word of God as a seed. The word of God is a seed because it does cause new life to grow. It does. Not always when and where we might hope or like it to, but it does cause new life to grow. What I've just said so far, it might give the impression that the word of God is very vulnerable, and that the image of the seed is a very vulnerable image. But actually, the image of the seed still comes with power, just like the other images of the word of God that we've thought about, life-giving power. But it's at this point in my sermon that I'd like to ask for some gardening advice. I'm not a very good gardener, as you will know if you've been to the Garden of the Manse. If you are a good gardener, please come to the Garden of the Manse and sort it out for us. We'd very much appreciate it. I'm not a gardener, but I just wonder, if I went to a Wenny Garden Centre, see, I do know the name of a garden centre. Go to a Wenny Garden Centre and I buy the best premium first-rate soil that they sell, the best soil that money can buy, good soil. And I come back to our garden, I clear away everything else, get rid of it all, even the trampoline, and cover it with this new premium first-rate soil. Soil, good soil, garden is covered with it, but I don't plant anything in it. I don't sow any seed. What's going to happen? Nothing. That's what I thought. I wanted to check, though. The garden's going to remain pretty dead, isn't it? It won't look very nice. It'll just be a load of soil. Not much is going to happen. And in this parable, all of the soils would stay unfruitful, even the last one, if it wasn't for the seed. There's no hope anywhere in this parable. Not just for the path and the rocky ground and the thorns, but even for the good soil, there's no hope without the seed coming. All of the soil is unfruitful without the seed. Of course, you need the right conditions. Here in the physical world, it would be the right weather and the right soil. Spiritually, you need the work of the Holy Spirit preparing the ground and causing God's word to bear fruit. But you do need the seed. God works through his word, through that seed, to bring new life. That's one of the reasons why the seed is used as an image of God's word, because God uses it to bring new life and to bring fruit. That God working through his word to bring new life is what's happened to us this evening if we are here as followers of Jesus. We could look at a few verses like James 1:18, the verse before the verses we looked at this evening, where it says that of his own will he brought us forth. How? By the word of truth. Or we could think about 1 Peter 1, verse 23. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. How? Through the living and abiding word of God. The word of God, this seed that does bring new life, that causes new life to grow. And I think if God has worked through the word in that way in your life, could he not work in the life of that friend who's come to 3 carol services in a row and has remained unmoved? We've already seen earlier that the word of God doesn't always produce the same result. You see these different things happening in different places. And what's true of different people is also true over the course of people's lives. There was a time when I was completely resistant to the word of God. Then there's a time where, by God's grace, he made me receptive to his voice. In other words, the response that your friend or your neighbor or your family members had to the truth about Jesus in the past may not be their response this year. The response that they had to your invite or to the carol service last year may not be their response this year. The seed can cause new life to grow. And we can't predict where that new life to grow. We can't see the invisible work that God is doing in people's hearts. We don't know where the good soil is as we preach the good news about Jesus. But I do know this. The best thing that can happen to our unbelieving friends and family members this Christmas is for them to hear the good news about Jesus. That's the best thing. Well, the best thing would be they respond to the good news, but you get the idea. The best thing that we have some influence in is that they hear the good news about Jesus, that they're hearing that life-giving seed of God's word, whether that's at a carol service that you invite them to, or whether it's over a Boxing Day board game or a Christmas afternoon walk, whatever it is. We don't know where the word will bear fruit or how, where new life will come or when. But that's why we scatter the seed as widely as we can, like in the parable, because we know that that seed is the seed that causes new life to grow, that God works through his word to bring new life. And so, even if we've not seen much happen in the past, we keep going, because we have the seed that brings life, the word of God. The word of God that's a seed, because surprisingly, doesn't always produce the same result, and yet, it does cause new life to grow. One more thing. The Word of God is a seed because Jesus uses it to bring in his harvest. Jesus uses it to bring in his harvest. We'll move a bit beyond Luke chapter 8, because Luke chapter 8 on its own, just this parable, you could get the impression that all of this is a bit random and haphazard. The word just goes out, and who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen? No one knows. That's the impression we could get just from this parable. But when we look at everything that Jesus teaches us and everything we find in the Word of God, we know that it's not random or haphazard like that. That Jesus is in charge. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing. There's a point in Jesus' ministry where he tells his disciples and us to ask that new workers would be raised up for the harvest field. And who are we supposed to ask? The Lord of the harvest. 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 The one in charge, the one who has a plan. It's not the bird that comes and snatches the seed away. It's not the thorns that grow up and choke the plants. The Lord of the harvest is Jesus. And that's why we pray in his name for people we know who aren't saved. We pray in his name because he is the Lord of the harvest. He has a plan and he's working out that plan. And what kind of harvests is he planning? What kind of harvests is he gathering? If we know that, say, mixed response we see as the word goes out, what kind of harvest is it? We could jump ahead in Luke's gospel. In fact, we will, to Luke chapter 13. And this image of the seed is used again to talk about something different, but not entirely unrelated. It's a story we find in the other gospels as well, but seeing as we're in Luke 13, we're told this. What is the kingdom of God like? People under the reign of Jesus as king, what is it like? It's like a grain of mustard seed, very small seed, like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. What starts off looking very small and looking even vulnerable, looking like it won't amount to much, what happens is it grows and grows and grows and grows. And as the harvest keeps growing, we have that image at the end of the Bible of a great multitude that no one can count from every tribe and nation and tongue and language. And Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, he doesn't have small ambitions, does he? It's a big harvest, a big plan. Far bigger, by the way, than the 1,600 homes that we're distributing to this Christmas. And he's going to bring that harvest through the seed of his word. As the seed is sown, a new life comes, and the Spirit works. That doesn't mean that I come to you this evening with a guarantee of a 2019 literature revival, as we proclaim the good news. It could happen, I won't rule it out. But it doesn't come with that guarantee. But what it does mean is, it means something when you pray this Christmas. Whatever names may have come to mind at the beginning, names of people you might invite, names of people you might see and share the gospel with, when you pray for them, you're not praying in the name of someone who's reluctant to see a harvest. You're not praying in the name of someone who's reluctant to see fruit. You're praying in the name of someone who has a great harvest planned, of someone who is at work through the word as it's sown, bringing new life. And we may not understand how he's working or why the word has different responses in different places. We may have lots of questions about what's happening, but we know that there will be a great crop sown through this word. under the Lord of the harvest. So we keep praying and we keep sowing. We keep praying in the name of the Lord of the harvest. We keep sowing the seed that we've been given, the word of God. Look to see what he'll do. You have that question, should I invite this person? Is there any point? Should I still talk about Jesus with this person? Is there any point when those conversations have gone nowhere in the past? I can't guarantee that this Christmas will be the Christmas where your friend puts their trust in Jesus. I can't guarantee that. But I can guarantee that the seed of God's word has life-giving power, that Jesus is at work through it to gather his harvest. Praise him for that. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for all of the images that you have revealed to us of what your word is like.